to Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle, and I'm here with my co-host Gary LaRood. In this episode, we're going to continue our coverage of the May IMS and 5G issue. As a reminder, the cover feature is written by Joe Madden of Mobile Experts, and he talks about the need for millimeter wave technology now, as in dense urban areas are actually hitting capacity constraints in the sub-6 gigahertz range. So he goes over that, some of the stats for that. He also talks about the trade-offs between GaN and silicon and some of the challenges ahead in packaging and integration. And we covered the technical features last time, so right. How about products?
So a couple of product features this time from Rohde & Schwarz, a very nice vector network analyzer, what they call the ZNA. There are a couple of options. It goes to 26.5 gigahertz or 43.5, and it has 170 dB dynamic range, wow. If you can believe that. And it has a really unique hardware architecture. You can have up to 8 parallel measurement channels, up to 4 coherent signal sources, and it has 2 internal local oscillators. So really a high-end, state-of-the-art vector network analyzer. And then our second product feature is from Mercury Systems. This is an open architecture transceiver. It covers 6 to 18 gigahertz. It has 1 gigahertz of instantaneous bandwidth, and the form factor is a 3U open VPX. And you can configure it with traditionally one transmit, one receive, or you could put 2 receives in or 2 transmits, depending upon what the system requirements are. So those are the product features. How about tech briefs?
So tech briefs, we had 2 of those also. One was a 6 to 18 gigahertz TWT power amplifier, 100 watts, and that's from QuarterWave. And then we also had a 27 to 67 gigahertz set of adapters, connectors, and cable assemblies from MCV Microwave. So also in this edition is the big coverage of IMS.
Right.
It's here in Boston the first week in June. Seeing that the show is in Boston this year, I thought it was only fitting that we talk to one of the leading device manufacturers in the Boston area. So earlier today, we talked with Paul Blunt. He's president and CEO of Custom Mimic. So let's take a look at a clip from that interview earlier.
We have, as Pat mentioned, IMS coming up in just about a week. What are you going to be featuring at the show, and any special announcements will you be making?
Yes, definitely. Obviously, it's a home show. We've got a big 20 by 20 booth. We're very excited. With over 170 standard products now, it's hard to pick your favorites as to which ones to push. We have about 3 that are my favorites for bringing to the show. We've got a new DC to 20 gigahertz voltage variable attenuator, which is being well received. We have a 2 to 20 gig driver, the 295, which has got low noise figure across the entire band. It's got nice gain, good power. It's a really nice, easy to use part. And then finally, we've got a brand new part, which I'm desperately trying to push through and get through before MTT starts, which is a DC to 70 gigahertz broadband distributed
wow.
amplifier. It's
wow.
very flat, really good return loss. And you know, we're seeing a dearth of parts in the sort of 40, 50, 60 gigahertz range. We have so many people asking us for them, and we are developing them. This is the first one to come out, so it's a big one for us. So we're very excited about MTT this year.
It's great to catch up with Paul. He always has some interesting things, and their products are really cutting edge. They're doing really well.
Yeah, I had an opportunity, as I mentioned, to go through their facility a couple weeks ago, and it's really nice to see the expansion.
So turning to the news, kind of an abrupt change of leadership at MACOM. John Croteau is not the CEO any longer. Steve Daly has taken over as president and CEO.
Yeah, big surprise.
Yeah, it is. Croteau was definitely very aggressive in the market. He changed them into the optical market very heavily, investing in acquisitions and switching over their revenue. More than half was from optical income.
Right.
And so he also was very aggressive with their GaN on silicon technology and even signed a partnership with ST Microelectronics to produce GaN on silicon in the low-cost CMOS factory.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how the change in strategic direction goes there, but maybe we can catch up with Steve on the show sometime.
Yeah, that would be great.
He's a longtime industry expert. He was president, CEO, and board chair at Hittite before they were acquired by ADI, so he definitely has the qualifications.
Yeah, for sure.
What did you see in the news?
Well, another kind of surprise, Huawei was added to what's called the entity list, and that means 2 things. One, the U.S. government thinks that they're a threat to national security, either already or potentially in the near future. The other implication is if you export a product to Huawei, you now need an export license, and the presumption is it'll be denied.
Okay.
So it's a pretty draconian step, similar to what happened to ZTE a couple times in the last couple years. Now, to kind of modify that a little bit, the government has created a 90-day temporary general license, which will allow Huawei to continue apparently supporting existing systems where some carriers in the U.S. are using their equipment. It'll also allow them to do some software updates for people that may have Huawei phones. So if there's a security issue or something and they need to send a software update, they can do that. One of the most interesting aspects of this temporary license, though, is it allows Huawei to continue participating in 5G standards bodies. I saw that and it gave me pause for a moment, but then I realized with this export ban, someone speaking at a technical conference to someone from Huawei could be accused of exporting to Huawei and not have an export license, so they would actually be criminally liable. So I think this is probably a good move because Huawei's been very involved in the 5G standards.
Yeah, it's a big customer for a lot of our people.
Right. So we heard from Qorvo. They think it'll hit them to the tune of about $50 million in this quarter alone. So we'll see what happens. Huawei is certainly a strategic priority for China. So I imagine there'll be lots of conversations government to government level to try to sort this out. And hopefully it won't damage the industry.
Yeah. Well, turning to events, I just returned from NI Week and great theme there, full force ahead. So there was a lot of references to Star Wars, some lightsaber fighting. So it's always a fun event. Their keynote talks are spectacular. So the biggest announcement, at least in our field, was they announced a new vector signal transceiver product and now goes to 44 gigahertz. So it can fully test millimeter wave 5G technology.
Wow.
It has 1 gigahertz of bandwidth and can support up to 72 ports.
Wow.
And so they showed this in many different configurations. They actually have integrated it into a wafer prober with some partners, so they can do on-wafer millimeter wave testing. And then they also had a high-speed 5G OTA test system that they demonstrated. Mm. So they showed an Anoki Wave Ball Aerospace 28 gigahertz array. Under a normal test for 5G OTA, it would take about 6 minutes. But what they did is they came up with a new method where they rotate the device under test as opposed to the detectors. And they do this very quickly and are able to synchronize the measurements. And they cut the test time from 6 minutes down to 20 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
So this is the kind of innovation we really need to commercialize 5G millimeter wave technology. So great achievements.
Yeah, I think you could call that revolutionary.
And not to be outdone, Keysight had their Keysight World Americas event right before that, and that was in the Bay Area, had 5 parallel tracks, and I remotely listened in on some of those.
Mm.
And they had an interesting announcement. They announced a family of signal analyzers, but what was unique is they announced in 3 configurations. So it's USB, PXI, and the benchtop, all as one release. So you have 3 different products. You can choose the platform that fits your need.
Huh.
And I think this is their strategy going forward, that they will release on all 3 platforms when they do their different instruments.
Wow, interesting.
How about you?
Well, from an event standpoint, we've got, as we mentioned, IMS coming up in just about a week, and so we hope to see a lot of our viewers there. It will be a busy time. I think both of our schedules are booked. And then looking out a little bit further, in September, our EDICON USA show is actually converting to EDICON online. This will allow our viewers and other participants to actually attend the conference virtually. All they have to do is click and they'll be logged in from their computer. And so we encourage you to check out ediconline.com. You'll get a lot more information for that. And put it on your calendar. It'll be September 10th, 11th, and 12th, so 3 full days. And I think that's a wrap.
It is.
So we want to thank you for watching. We hope to see you at IMS. If not, the next time on Frequency Matters. And we want to thank our sponsor for this episode, Custom Mimic. You heard a little bit about them with our interview with Paul Blount. And Custom Mimic is a strong MMIC supplier, so the next time that you have needs, check out their website. Thanks for watching.